This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 147. What did you watch this week?
No.
Yes.
No.
I did it again.
You did it again. And it wasn't a new one. It was your friggin' prospector voice.
Prospector voice?
Yeah.
I'm going down to the river and I'm going to pick some gold tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to eat a steak.
Need a steak?
Yeah.
I got me some gold. Time to get me a prostitute.
That's what they do.
And
I got a bag of gold. I'm going to get a big old steak, and then I'm going to get a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone's got to have goals. Anyhow.
So, watch some stuff.
I actually watched a lot of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so, yeah. All right. This is where it gets fun.
Mike has folded his arms in front of his chest and stuck his hands in his armpits. This is when you know you need to gear up because yeah. Stories are coming.
Yeah, it really is.
Let me make sure my ass is comfortable. All right.
These chairs.
Crack my neck. Okay.
I decided, fuck it. I was just going to have stuff on in the background while I was doing schoolwork. Typically, I like to pay attention to TV when I watch it. I have a particular coworker that will sit there with his feet up with his like tablet on a show while he's playing a game on his other tablet.
I thought he got done there. Or is that a different one?
It's a different one.
Oh my god.
So anyways, but somehow like I can't do that. Like I don't really watch shows in the background. You know, like I know like you'll play video games sometime and you'll have a show on and you're not really paying attention to it.
But I make sure that there's shows that you can't pay attention to.
Well, here's the thing, like on my tablet, for whatever reason, the CW app volume is really low. So I tend to not watch the Arrow, Flash, Supergirl on. Like I have to sit and watch it really intently so I can hear everything. Because the
same thing with the BBC app, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So, but
and some wrestling app.
No,
oh,
just BBC and CW are the two I currently use that do it the most. There's others, but those are the only two that I don't watch BBC now because Doctor Who's not on. But anyway, so the
Killing
CW
Eve's coming back.
Huh?
Killing Eve is coming back.
I'll have to watch that at home on the
tablet. Bodyguard is on BBC. You love that.
Here's what's weird, right?
That's right. I just derailed him.
Yeah, that's fine. My USA Network app on my tablet, volume's fine, and I can watch live TV on there.
Okay.
And the BBC America app on my tablet, when I watch live TV, the volume's fine. When I watch the on-demand stuff, it's not.
Interesting.
Yeah. On the Roku TV, I can't use live TV on the USA Network app, but I can on the BBC America app. Hmm.
Different operating system.
Yeah. It's just weird how that is. But anyhow, so back to what I was saying.
Okay.
So I actually caught up on Supergirl and Flash and Arrow.
Wow.
I was like three episodes behind on all of them.
You know, I almost didn't watch them because I was like, there's no way.
Well, let me rephrase that. I did not watch this week's because I watched these on Sunday to Monday, Monday to Tuesday.
Okay.
So I didn't watch this week's.
So you have not watched Emerald Archer, which was the documentary 150th episode?
No.
And you did not watch Goldface for Flash? Supergirl, I don't think was on. Maybe it was.
I don't know if Supergirl. I did not.
Goldface is the heist and.
No.
Okay.
But I still caught up. To speak.
That's good.
Yeah. And I watched a lot of shit this week, to be honest.
Good. Let's talk about it.
My final exam was this week for my midterm exam, if you will.
I was going to say, that can
for accounting, because this is week four.
Yeah.
And I was dreading it, because accounting has been just so miserable for me. So Tuesday to Wednesday, I had a double, right? So I worked. So Wednesday at midnight, if you will. Tuesday, 11:59. Wednesday, 12 midnight type of thing. They automatically post the results for the previous week's assignment. Well, I struggled really hard with week three and I did terrible, but the exam in the week three assignment was essentially identical, just different numbers. I was able to use the week three assignment key, like results, to do the final. And what was amazing is it finally clicked in as I was doing it. Oh, okay. Okay. Like, if it was finally making sense.
It was like somebody was explaining it to you finally.
Yes. Yeah. And that's my biggest problem. Like, of all my online classes, like, I made the dean's list for last semester. Yes. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I actually have a B in accounting right now, even though I'm struggling so bad.
Thanks.
But thank you. But that's of all my classes I've had so far, I've had 8 classes. And accounting is the only class I really wish I had someone there explaining it to me. Anyhow, so I watched a lot of stuff. You want to see how long it's been?
5 minutes.
Come on, that's not bad. We spent 20 minutes last week, I think, bullshit, before we actually started talking about stuff.
Just get them to the mall. Okay, so 5 minutes later, Mike watched a lot of shows.
Yeah. Who cares? It's Thursday night, by the way.
Yes.
Was it the 7th of...
The 7th.
We just finished watching Manifest. I hate that fucking show. I really do.
It's such dog shit.
It's so stupid.
And the CGI is terrible on it. And
yeah.
I can't.
I just look forward to watching it with you and Kate, because we sit there and rip on it.
Yeah.
While we look at our phones.
Yep. And up until tonight, I did not look at my
phone. No, you
did. It was always in my pocket, and yeah. I would watch the show and kind of bring you guys back in and be like, hey, look what just happened. And then you guys would look up from your phones and go right back to it.
Yeah.
But tonight I was like, no, I'm looking on my phone. This is...
The beginning was so bad. Well, okay, so like 2 episodes ago, they have the big fight, and the husband's the problem. And so he leaves, and he's going to move out of the house and this and that. And then 2 episodes later, within the first 5 minutes, you know, he's sitting there talking to his daughter about pictographs or whatever. And the wife comes downstairs and goes, oh, that's a sight for sore eyes. And she's like,
immediately,
he goes, yeah, it's good to be home. I had to pause it.
Yeah.
So we could,
because it was horse shit.
It was a bunch of
horse shit. Because of this episode, yeah. I have a new theory.
Yes.
And it's gaining ground. So
gaining ground for yourself.
Yes. So the main character here, Ben Stone,
yeah,
who's taken it upon himself to solve all of these mysteries of the callings and the passengers and everything, he finds things where nobody else can find them. He found that pamphlet sitting on the doctor's office floor and knew to go track down that church because that had something to do with why she wasn't around. Now, remember, this woman just didn't take his call this morning.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's all.
And suddenly he's like, she's missing. I know someone's taken her. So he finds this
pamphlet. Hold on. Even like the nurse goes, she didn't return one call and you came all the way down here to check on her?
Yeah, you're a good friend.
Well, you're a good friend, creepazoid. Like even the nurse brings up how odd that is. Like a character on the show.
So he finds this pamphlet and he's like, I've got to go check out this church. And he goes down there and the guy's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And he sees this wall of notes that are like prayers. People are like, because this one guy from the plane has basically turned, he's created a cult around himself and the other ones. And he's like, oh, we were brought back here to save people and do amazing things. And so Ben takes the pamphlet and sees the writing on it, the handwriting, and compares it to the different handwritings that are on the wall and figures out which one it is so that he can now find out that that's the woman who has kidnapped the doctor friend and brings his sister, Michaela, who is a cop, over there. And in broad daylight, they see the doctor with her hands up in the air, standing in front of a window. You know, the universal sign for don't shoot me, don't shoot me.
Yep.
So he waits for Michaela. He goes, hey, Michaela. So she calls in backup, says ESU is 2 minutes out. He goes, great. And start charging into the building. And she goes, NYPD protocol says. And he goes, I'm not NYPD. So then
he hatches a plan
to go up there and quote unquote perform a miracle to distract this woman instead of waiting for police backup. So this is my theory. He's an amazing detective. He can figure things out. He is at odds with the police and always goes into these situations without any police backup because he knows better. This guy's Batman, and he is going to be the next Batman because now that Ben Affleck has bowed out and he will not be Batman, they're looking for a new Batman. This guy is going to be it.
I
He's the world's greatest detective, Mike.
I almost want him to get it now, just because of his.
I do too. He's got the right build. He's always scowling. You know, I'm telling you, this is your next Batman.
It could be.
They're going to say, because he played Prince Charming in Once Upon a Time, they're going to say, the once white knight will now be the dark knight. Yeah. Calling it right now. Yep.
Apparently that was your 5 minutes of useless story.
Now. That's right. Yes.
Oh, God. So like I said, I caught up on Supergirl.
That's some horseshit right there, ain't it?
I've transitioned. All right. Jesus. Okay.
Okay. Did you say I've transitioned because they talked about Dreamer being a transvestite, or are you
transgender? Don't.
I know.
No.
Or were you saying that you've transitioned into watching the show again?
So I transitioned from talking about Manifest to Supergirl because I already talked about Supergirl earlier.
Yeah.
So Alex isn't playing well with General Haley.
Yeah.
And she's doing everything she can to find out who Supergirl is. And one of the people breaks. And they find out who she is. And the these aliens, what do they call them again? Mores.
No. Oh, yeah. The Mores were there, yeah.
They come after them.
Yeah.
Supergirl saves Haley, and she immediately blackmails both her and Alex.
Yep.
Immediately.
Yeah. She goes, thanks for saving me. Now, guess what?
Yeah, basically, her character is a giant piece of shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, quite literally.
Yeah. So then they get... Alex punches her, which apparently knocked her out for a decade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was unconscious just gone. A long time.
Yeah.
And they get Martian Manhunter to come in.
She's wiry.
Yeah. They get Martian Manhunter to come in and erase her memory of finding out who Supergirl was.
And he cuts this little speech. He goes, that's considered an attack. I'm a pacifist now. But of course I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not me exaggerating. He literally says, but of course I'll do it for you.
Right. Like, I heard him say no, but then say he'd do it. And I was like, all right, cool.
He's a selective pacifist. Yeah. He's like one of those vegetarians that like, but I still eat fish and chicken.
But she's still intent on finding out who Supergirl is because she can't erase the intent.
Right.
Only erase the memory.
Yeah.
So she brings in some alien octopus that can suck the truth out of people.
Out of everything.
Yeah.
And Brady's like, dear God, I didn't think they had those on Earth. He's very dramatic.
He is. So...
So they come up with the best plan ever.
Which is Martian Manhunter's going to wipe everybody's memory who knows who Kara is. Which, there's a lot of people, apparently, that are secondary characters that we didn't know about that knows who she is.
Well, because Alex never shuts her mouth.
Right.
She'll be in the middle of the DEO and go, Kara!
Yeah.
When it's Supergirl.
Right. So, then of course at the end, Alex also needs to have her memory wiped. I wanted to throw my tablet and be like, fuck this.
I threw my remote.
Yeah.
I said, this is horseshit. Because I thought, for starters, I thought they were going to wipe her memory all the way back to when she first met Kara. Right. Which would be ridiculous. It would be the dumbest thing that I could imagine.
No, all they did was selectively wipe everything from memory where she knew that Kara has an alien, Kara had superpowers, Kara was Supergirl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, is going to leave some fucking gaps up.
Right, exactly.
Which, by the next episode, we see it's causing her problems.
Yeah. Alex doesn't recall Kara's favorite movie.
Yeah. Because, it was The Wizard of Oz because Kara could understand what it was like to be a stranger in a strange land.
Yeah.
And then Alex keeps saying, I feel like there's something I'm forgetting. Somebody's taken some memories of mine or something.
And then she shits on Supergirl when she sees her.
Yep. And then Supergirl shoots her with a laser.
Yeah.
It burns her hand. And she's like, you suck.
Yeah. Both her eyes.
Yeah.
Shoots with a laser.
Oh, I know.
Heat vision from her eyes.
I know. I was.
And then and Dreamer's all sad because her mom dies and her sister's supposed to get the dream power. Because it's supposed to transfer from mother to daughter, and you're not even a real girl.
But only, exactly. And that's only what her sister one says per generation.
Right. So, anyways, Kara decides to show Dreamer that she's Supergirl so she can say, I know how you feel.
Right. Because, the whole problem up until this point was too many people knew who Supergirl was.
So they erased all their memories.
Yeah. So now she's like, I got to start over.
Yeah. Yeah, I still like the show better than Arrow, because Arrow is just hot garbage.
Arrow is hot garbage. The only thing saving Arrow at this point are the flash forwards.
Oh, even those, like when they flash forward and you see, Red Dog.
Mad Dog.
Mad Dog. I just want him dead.
Yeah.
I hate his character. As an older man with a wig, a really bad wig, or a young guy with a hockey mask shooting everybody, I just want him dead.
Yeah.
I don't like his character.
I don't either.
Was Amiko Queen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares? It's.
I had to look her up. I'm like, is this a TV made-up thing or is this something from the comics? It's something from the comics, but her character was actually created after the show started.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting there.
Yeah.
But they still...
It's like, look, new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. The show is garbage. The fact that Arrow is now a deputy, you know, so he still does all of his bow and arrow stuff, but
yeah.
He does it with his hood off
and
with a badge.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
He works for the police now.
Yeah.
First half of the season, he was in jail. Second half, he's a cop.
Yeah. Because, you know, justice system.
He's a former vigilante who's now a cop, just like Laura Lance is a former vigilante who's now an evil vigilante, I guess, who's now the district attorney.
Like, the lead district attorney.
Okay, hold on. Isn't that an elected position?
Yes.
How, then?
Yeah.
How? Right? Oh, she murdered a bunch of people and terrorized us all, but fuck it. Let's just elect her in because she's good at debating.
And she really wants to do it, guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
She's a master debater.
Yeah. It's not enjoyable. I only watch it because I want to make sure that I keep up. Because, like, in this most recent episode, the 150th or whatever it was, it was a documentary called The Emerald Archer. And so you're watching behind the scenes. You see faces from the past, like Quentin Lance. And
is it a real documentary or is it a faux documentary?
It's a faux documentary.
Okay, all right.
And there's a documentary crew that, you know, Oliver agreed to give them unfettered access. So they're following the police around on actual, you know, jobs. But you see Barry Allen in there talking about, you know, how he never knew that Oliver Queen was the Arrow. And so that's the only reason that I watch it is to keep up on the
tie. Wait, Barry Allen is Barry Allen, not Barry Allen is Flag.
Exactly.
I know. That's basically kind of the only reason why I still kind of watch the show is because of the, this year's crossover was excellent.
Oh, my God. Next year's is going to be even better.
I think so. And I'm actually looking forward to see how this Batwoman show goes.
Yep. Well, on that note, the CW has announced that they've renewed all of the Arrowverse shows for the next season. A lot of their shows got renewed. Riverdale, Charmed got renewed for another season.
Supernatural?
Yep. Fuck. Yeah. Can't get away from it.
I haven't finished watching the last half of last season, and I haven't watched any of this season. And it's like, we're up to season 17 now?
I think 15. I think we're on 16 now. I think 15 was just out on Blu-ray or something. The 300th episode was this week.
Either way, that's a lot of seasons for the premise on that show. And it got so watered down and so terrible for such a long time.
Yep. I agree, sir. I agree.
I don't know. You know what I just bought? I'll just side note this real quick. I saw it on eBay. I was looking around. I ended up picking it up for, with shipping, it was $7. Grimm Season 1 Blu-ray.
Nice.
That's a great show.
The first season was awesome. The
first season was amazing.
Second season was pretty good.
Yeah.
But it, again, like Supernatural, it started getting diluted. The more people they added, the more storylines they added. They got away from the keys for a long time there.
Yeah.
They got away from the whole purpose. Because once again, they did the lazy thing and said, let's bring a pregnancy into it. So sick of that.
But I really did like the relationship between Nick and Blonde Girl in the last season. Adeline.
Yeah.
I really liked their relationship together for whatever reason.
Yep.
All right. Moving on.
Flash.
Yes.
Savior of the Universe.
So I watched three episodes. I watched The Flash and the Furious, Seeing Red, and Memorabilia. And I will just, I don't want to break them all down, but I would like to surmise them.
That's one big blur?
Kinda. Cisco's working on a metahuman cure because they pulled the rest of the shards out of his hand and they found out that they weren't inhibiting his powers as much as they were draining his powers from. So now Cisco wants to make a cure for the metahumanism.
Because they have some of, they, Killer Frost got a frozen sphere of cicada's blood.
Correct. So they want to make a cure. I thought they started working on the cure before they got that, by the way. They started working on that before they got the thing of the blood because, yeah, because Killer Frost was kept ruining Caitlin's math work because she didn't want them to discover it.
Right.
Because they talk about it because now she can talk to herself.
Yep.
Which is kind of cool.
It made some logical sense, though. Like, yeah. When they finally broke it down, yeah. They were like, look, we're not saying that we want to wipe it out of everybody. We want to give them the option.
Yes.
Because, like, the guy who is radioactive might not want those powers.
Right, exactly.
You know?
And Killer Frost is afraid Caitlin's not going to want her around right. someday. And
Caitlin's like, fuck her. I want you around all the time.
Yeah, that's the thing. And Cisco, before they could talk to each other, but Cisco tells her, when Moreau made you disappear... Caitlin thought she lost a part of herself, and that's all she wanted. All she did was try to find to get you back.
Yep.
I like the fact, though, that Killer Frost is a good person, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Like, they go and they fight, and then, you know, Barry's like, we need Caitlin to be the doctor now.
Exactly.
And I like the fact that, like, Killer Frost is Killer Frost isn't a doctor, doesn't have that knowledge that Caitlin does.
Yep.
And Caitlin, as Caitlin, doesn't have freezing powers.
Or a bad attitude.
Yeah. I just, for whatever reason, I really do enjoy how they've separated her character.
They made an awesome choice going in that direction.
And it works. Yep. It doesn't always work, but it works. Well,
what they could have done as an alternative is they could have done what they did with Arrow and the Black Canary and have two Laurel Lances, you know, the one from the evil universe and the one from the good universe. And, you know, oh, this one has powers and this one does. They could have easily done that. And they said, no, let's do a split personality thing and let's let them get along and let's let them... You know, actually work with
each other.
Yeah.
And like, want to be with each other, yeah.
Like what you're kind of seeing with the Hulk in Infinity War.
Yeah.
The Hulk and Banner actually talking to each other.
Okay, now that we got to talk about it because you brought it up and I don't want to forget later.
Sure.
Did you hear that the initial cut is over 3 hours long?
Yes. And they're trying to say that it's a bad thing?
No. What they're considering is... Well, that's a long time for people to go without going to the bathroom. That's the biggest thing. But then they notice during all the screenings they've done, people aren't getting up and leaving to go, even though it's over 3 hours long.
Yeah, because they don't want it.
Right. Like, one person in one of the screenings is what it was. So now they're like, well, maybe we should put an intermission in it. So they might actually have an intermission in the movie.
I'd be down for that.
Like... You go to the movies, watch a three-hour flick, and halfway through, there's an intermission.
Well, think about it.
Movie theaters would love that. People would go up, go to the bathroom, get more popcorn, get more soda, get more snacks.
And traditionally, movies are an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
This is two movies.
Yeah.
So they do the same thing at drive-ins. You know, they give you that little time to stretch your legs, go to the bathroom.
The first movie, yes, absolutely. Then they do an intermission. Let's go up to the lobby. also... Just on a side note, I've noticed that our local Regal cinemas, Sunday through Thursday, do not do a late showing anymore. Only on Fridays and Saturdays do they do, like, a 10 o'clock screening of a movie.
Maybe they'll change that in the summer.
Well, okay, so I noticed with what comes out this week, this movie that comes out this week, and on Thursday they're only doing a 7 o'clock screening, and then Friday night they have the 10 o'clock normal. But for Miss Marvel, on Thursday they are doing, like, a 7 and a 10. So I'm sure it'll change this summer, but I happen to notice that as of right now, they don't do anything later than like the 7 o'clock one.
Gotcha.
Excuse me. Anyways, so on Flash, they're going to make the cure for cicada, for the metahumans. And my immediate thought, well, this is to cure cicada, isn't it? Like, that's what you would do with it.
Right.
But it wasn't until like the third episode at the very end where Barry's like, I want to use to cure cicada.
Yep.
Well, no shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was evident 3 episodes ago when it first came up that this is what they're going to do with it. Like, but we find out why Nora's working with Eobard.
Kind of.
Not really, but yes. They're working together to save Flash.
And stop Cicada.
And stop Cicada, because for whatever reason, Eobard's like, I hated Flash, but now I like him.
See?
And he's got an hour to live.
I'm still holding true to my theory that Nora is a plant. That Eobard engineered Nora into this timeline somehow.
Yeah.
She doesn't belong there. And that's going to be the big thing at the end of this season, is they're going to be like...
Sherlock went to the Gideon and wanted all the files on Nora West Allen, and she deleted them.
Yep. Yep.
Or in the Gideon.
And
then she and... Barry's wife.
Iris.
Iris. Iris is like, don't investigate my daughter. And Sherlock was just like, well, I investigate things, and they go where they go, and, you know, basically he's like, Nora Allen West isn't all that she seems.
Yeah.
And then he had a partner named Watsoon.
Watsoon. And this is a minor spoiler, but I will tell you, the most recent episode, he meets a woman that he's interested in, and her name is Arlene Adler.
Just high-five me right now on that.
And I'm like, that's great. Because it's not directly, it's not Irene.
No, it's Arlene, Arlene.
But
yeah. That's tremendous.
But this was the thing. So we're jumping around a little bit here.
That's fine. We have three episodes to talk about.
The third episode there that you would have watched,
yeah.
Which was the
Memorabilia.
One.
Yes.
Where they go into memories. And of course, you know, Excess is like, oh, I've got to go in by myself. Sherlock's like, always go in with a partner.
Right, yeah.
You've got to be able to pull each other up.
My parents can't see my memories because then they'll know I'm working with Eobard.
Right. And, but what I found very interesting, so two things in here. One was that at the end of Grace's memories.
Yep.
Little Gracie, because she revealed that she could basically hear everything that was going on.
Yes, and she's, my uncle's right, you're all evil.
Yep. Well, in the end of her memories, the cicada that was there was her.
Yes, as an adult.
You know, as an adult. So that's interesting. Is that her? Because Sherlock said that it was a defense mechanism, but was it that, or was it prophesizing? Is she, because in the museum, they said the cicada was never caught and had a body count of 152, which again, they love the 52.
Yeah.
Did she take over for her uncle?
Yep, could have.
But what I found really interesting was inside of Nora's head, her defense mechanism was the reverse flash suit.
Yes.
And when Barry and him fight, and I actually wrote down the line because this is what it said, the reverse flash has him like pinned down, and he says, death, failure, another broken family. This is the legacy I gave you. I really think that we're going to find out that Nora doesn't belong, that she was artificially created, or that she was just another speedster that was inserted in there to fuck with Flash.
Yeah.
You know, this is the broken family, the legacy that I gave you. He's fucking with him from the future.
But do you think Nora knows this?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I don't think that she does. I think that she thinks she's helping these people that are her parents. She'd have to believe that in order to sell the lie.
Right. Right.
And I think that by the end of the season, they're going to have to confront that. And then they're going to be like, well, wait, if she's not really our kid, you know, if she never was supposed to be, blah, blah, blah. Do we throw her to the wolves? Do we, you know, do we set the timeline right? Yeah. This okay, so you haven't seen Goldface, but the next week's episode, the one that's going to be airing this coming Tuesday, looks like a Groundhog Day kind of episode, except for Nora is seeing Iris killed by Cicada every time. And then goes back to reset the timeline and can't fix it.
Mm. Okay.
Yep.
So I did forget to watch a couple things because of the way I watched them.
Okay.
And I don't know, was Blacklist on? Or was that still gone on another?
It was on, but I didn't watch it either.
Okay, because I know it's on, like, not a second hiatus, but I mean, I don't know if I'm caught up to date. That's the problem.
There's one episode on my DVR that I haven't watched yet. And there'll be a new episode on tomorrow.
Okay, so it wasn't on. Okay, it was. Okay, yeah, because it was on January 18th and then February 1st, and then.
Then it'll be on tomorrow night.
Oh, because the last time I saw it on was him. When he went to court.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has to. The judge basically spoon fed him what he wants to do.
Yep.
So, all right, I'm not missing then, but there was one episode up. All right, cool. I have to watch that. Let's see here. Just throw this out there. This season of Oak Island is the best one they've ever had.
Really?
Them excavating Smith's Cove is amazing. Like, they keep finding things there. It's really cool. Like, in the past, when they've dug things up or they look for something or whatever it is, it's like, okay, they don't find something. It doesn't pan out. It's not what they thought it was. But here, they're actually finding stuff like historically they knew was there, like from the 1850s or from the 1900s or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like they're finding these other things that were found previously and had been recorded as found. It. Now they're finding them again. It's like, that's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the best season so far. Nice. It's really good, yeah. Did you watch Project Blue Book Operation Paperclip?
No. Okay. Is it good?
It was.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
It is a great show. Yeah, I'm a little backlogged on those.
Okay. All right. Well, this involves ex-Nazi scientists.
Those are always the best ones.
Aren't they the best ones?
They've made some great video games out of those, too. I mean,
yeah, they have.
Ex-Nazi scientists. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'll just leave it at that, then.
Awesome.
It's definitely. It's good.
I'm excited.
The Rookie hasn't been on.
Nope.
Okay. See, I got to double check sometimes. I caught up on The Good Doctor.
Yeah.
Except for this week. Now, here's the thing. A few episodes ago, it was, we're gonna investigate them, and they might lose their licenses. But yeah, we haven't talked about it since then.
Yeah.
So are they going to ignore that? Are they going to super rug? So, yeah. Or is it
going to... No, they'll bring it back up right at the season finale.
Probably. But it's been okay.
Yeah.
It's been a show.
It's a show. It's one of those, like, if it disappeared tomorrow, I honestly wouldn't care. Yep. But if I see that it's on my DVR, I'll go, oh, I can watch that one. Maybe in the background.
Yeah. Same thing kind of with New Amsterdam.
That one's actually been renewed for a second season, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. I did manage to watch... I haven't watched any more Punisher.
I still haven't even started.
I haven't found the time, and I'm surprised they haven't canceled it yet.
Yeah, because we all know it's coming.
But I did watch a couple more episodes of You.
Oh, good. I finished it.
Okay, well, I watched the pilot, like you said.
Yep.
Like, you talked about it, and I was basically like, stop talking, I want to watch it.
Yep.
And I watched the pilot, and yeah, I mean, this guy is kind of messed up. You know, big time. But I think, let's see here. Oh, so I've watched three episodes.
Okay.
Because...
And there are 10 total.
Okay. Because the third episode finally ends with him and Beck having sex, and he premature ejaculates immediately. And then they cut to credits.
Yep.
Hilarious.
Yep.
But, yeah, this guy is... it's a weird type of disturbing level.
Okay, so I've seen all of them, and I won't spoil it, but I will say... if you were to look at it psychologically, he is a sociopath.
Oh, big time.
Not quite a psychopath, but he's a sociopath. But the thing is, his is rooted in one of the most obscene cases of white knight syndrome ever.
Yes.
You're going to find as you watch this, this guy wants to save people. He wants to help people. He honestly believes, like with Benji, that he's doing the right thing.
Right.
That he's helping her by getting this poison out of her life.
Yeah,
wait, dude.
I'm surprised Benji's the first guy he killed.
Yeah, and
I was surprised. I thought he killed the bookstore owner years ago or something like that.
You're going to learn more about the bookstore owner as the series goes on.
Because I can tell right now he's kind of a bastard.
Yep.
But yeah, so I know there's going to be a second season. I know it's going to take place in California, and he's going to be the only return actor. Remember I read that kind of by accident. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty disturbing.
There's going to be the actress that's going to be playing opposite him, I'm assuming in the Beck role, but maybe it'll be something else, is the one who played adult Nell in Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
The bent neck lady.
Yeah. Dude, when they did that reveal on that episode, I did not see it coming. And when they did that big reveal, it was like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. That was tremendous.
So... The fourth episode of You that you're about to get to starts off very interestingly because it picks up immediately.
I'm sure it starts off with Beck telling all her friends how big piece of shit Joe is in lovemaking.
But it's interesting how it happens. I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
So. But I cannot wait until you finish this because I really want to dig into this. I loved this show. I loved these characters.
Huh.
I loved the fact that he is a sociopath, but you actually root for him.
Well, it's kind of like...
it's like Mel Gibson's Payback.
Oh, I was thinking Dexter.
Yep, Dexter as well. Somebody who is a bad person, and you think about it. You know, he'll be doing stuff in this. You know, Joe will be doing things and almost getting caught. There's one scene inside of a large house, and you're constantly going, oh, God, I hope, don't get caught, don't get caught. And then you go, he broke in here. He's stalking this person. He's spying on them. He doesn't belong here. He's dangerous. He should be caught. Why am I rooting for this guy not to get caught? Dude, it's the show is phenomenal.
I am going to keep watching it.
Good, I'm glad.
Caught up on
This Is Us.
Oh, yeah.
My wife just doesn't care about watching it anymore, so I watched it without her.
So you got to see part one of a two-part episode that hasn't been continued yet?
Yeah. So I watched the last 7 weeks episode and then Songbird Road part one.
Which I love. Okay, last 7 weeks. I love when shows do that, when they acknowledge that they went on a hiatus.
Yep.
They acknowledge that we've been gone from them for a while. And they, even if it's just a couple of throwaway lines, we're like, boy, what'd you do this summer? Oh, yeah. Well, I did this. Well, it's been 3 months.
I like how they caught us up. I wanted to kill Kate for selling Toby's original Star Wars action figures.
Dude, I've never hated her more in my
life. For 10 bucks.
DNS. Yeah, that means donations. No.
No.
That means do not sell.
What is DNS? Yeah, like, he was way too cool about that.
Dude.
He was way too cool.
All the shit that guy has put up with.
Yeah.
And then she sold his vintage Star Wars characters from when he was a kid.
Yeah.
His most prized possession. She just sold it for 10 bucks. Okay, first off.
I like when they go meet the kid that bought him, and he just goes, hey, no.
Yeah. He's like, no, sorry, man. And they give him the whole long story, and you think he's going to turn around. You know, they're talking about, this is the only thing, and my dad died in a fire, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, wow. Still,
yeah.
Can't do it. This,
yeah.
This is, I mean. So even if she was ignorant of this, which she couldn't have been, because she grew up in that time period, and she knew about pop culture,
mm-hmm.
she would have known that there was some value to those toys.
Yes.
And if your husband had a box of toys set aside, you would check with him first.
Oh, yeah, I would hope so.
You know, if that box was nothing but Star Wars memorabilia,
yeah.
you wouldn't think, why is he giving this away? You might say, I'm going to hold off on selling this until I double check with him and make sure he really wants to sell this. What a dick move, and a dick move by the writers of the show.
Yeah.
To throw us under the bus like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Basically, yeah. But I did like how they recap the last 7 weeks of the show.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Oh, of like great. What's happened as far as in everyone's lives and everything. And you keep going back to like, what's her face? Well, Randall wins the election, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which he shouldn't have.
No, I don't think so either. But Kevin and Zoe.
Mm.
You keep going back to what, you know, Randall's wife said about her cousin Zoe and this and that, what Beth said about her. And then she kind of comes around and she's like, yeah, I've always been a mess. I've always run away. I've always done this stuff, but I want to try to make it with you. So that was kind of cool.
Yep.
Because at the beginning episode, they teased with, you know, you're going to break up.
Right.
And then in Songbird Road Part 1, the long and the short of it, they find Nikki. They talk to Nikki. Nikki tells him, get the fuck out. They get out. They go back. He's going to kill himself. They take the gun away.
He's a piece of shit.
Well, they show the flashbacks of what happened and why his brother gave up on him and is why he got sectioned 8, if you will, and everything that happened, you know.
He was using live grenades to fish, and he had a small boy on the boat with him and was showing him how to do it. The boy didn't understand English.
Yeah.
So, you know, at one point the kid goes to grab a grenade and the pin comes out and it rolls around in the boat. And Nikki's like, get out, get in the water. Instead of picking the kid up and throwing him in the water or jumping in with him.
Right.
He goes, get in the water, get in the water. I'm going in. And then jumps in and the kid blows up.
By the way, for having a whole crate of hand grenades when that went off.
That was a small explosion.
That was not a big enough explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the whole thing is he never got to tell his brother it was an accident.
Mm.
Because his brother only went and talked to him one other time.
Yep.
So.
And basically, Nikki told him to fuck off.
Anyhow, there's that.
Yeah, so I'll be interested to see why that was a part one.
Yeah.
I imagine it could be a number of things. It could be like what was going on while they were going to visit him, you know, what was going on back.
Right. I think that's what my buddy Rude, I think, well, you know, Rude, that's what Rude was saying. He thinks like maybe the set part two is going to be what was happening while they were there, because that would make sense.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I've only got one other TV show I watched. What about you?
I have 5.
Okay. I might go, oh, yeah, I watched that.
You're still not watching Corporate?
No.
I won't go into a lot of detail, but I will say that's a great.
I stepped on something. It's kind of soft, but I didn't crush it.
So Corporate, again, is, you know, Dilbert or Office Space, but very dark. The first one was called Natural Beauty, and it opened up with a montage of, you know, two people, one of the main characters, Matt, and Ann Dudek, who plays one of the bosses.
So what channel is this on again?
Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
And, you know, it starts at like 4:30 in the morning, and you get to watch him just sleeping constantly, like sleeping in different positions while she's doing things like her makeup, showering, yoga, Pilates, blah, blah, all this stuff, you know, to make herself look good. And then he just like rolls out of bed, runs a comb through his hair, and people are like, wow, you look great today. And they look at her and they're like, boy, you look tired. Are you okay? So the episode is called Natural Beauty, and they come up with a product line for to have makeup for men. Because, you know, women get to have makeup all the time. What if men wore makeup and they could look more beautiful? And it's hilarious to watch the results of it.
Yes.
And then the most recent one was Matt's exclamation point breaks on his keyboard. So he has to reply to emails with just like periods and commas. And his bosses are flipping their shit. You know, like they'll say, hey, we want your help on this, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, now let's just relax. Let's just wait. Let's see what his response is. Give him some time to stew. And they hear bing. And they're both like, what did he say? And it's like, sure, period. And they're like, period. This man's a fucking sociopath. Who the hell? It is over the top, but it's so true.
They're making a big deal out of the fact that he isn't using exclamation.
Yes. Yes. He is an emotional terrorist, they call it. But the other story in that is that the one guy who does repairs, he does all the repair tickets. He's I can't remember what his name was, but he's the Weasley little guy from Better Off Ted.
Yeah.
You don't remember how you had the two scientists?
Yes.
The Weasley white guy?
Yes.
So he's their tech support guy. And like, Matt needs his chair fixed, and he's put in a ticket like 2 years ago, and his chair isn't fixed. So he goes down there to talk to the guy, and he's like, well, I have to do the tickets in the order that they come in. He goes, well, what ticket are you working on right now? He goes, the fax machine's broken. He goes, okay. And he goes, well, I called the fax company and told them about it, and I'm waiting for them to fax me over the response. He goes, but the fax machine doesn't work. He goes, I know. It's terrible, isn't it? And basically, it turns out that nothing ever gets fixed around there. But everyone just kind of like lets it go because he's the only guy there who brings a dog to work. Yeah. And they all love having the dog at work, and they can all hug the dog and play with the dog. So everyone just kind of lets it go until they discover the HR woman discovers that he's the one. They have a big fishbowl of Starburst, and he goes through and picks out all the pink ones and hoards them away. And she's like, those are the only things worth doing. She, like, dumps out the entire fishbowl in the trash because she's like, it's useless. The pinkies are the only good ones. So it's just – it's a fun show. It really is.
It's a half hour?
Yep.
I like that.
Yep. You're the worst?
I am not caught up on You're the Worst.
There were two episodes.
It feels like I shouldn't watch that at work.
Yeah. Well, actually, this season, like, last night's episode was called A Very Good Boy. And it was basically Gretchen calling Jimmy out and saying, you're not a bad boy. You're a good boy. You become very stable. So he wants to become a bad boy, but he just doesn't have it in him anymore. And the one before that was he pitched his idea to be the screenwriter for the movie version.
Yes.
And he got a big fat check. It was like $700,000. So he spends most of the episode running from everybody who's like, they all have ideas and they all want him to give them money. Like Becca, his ex there.
Yeah.
She comes over and she's like, she lays in bed and she's like, oh, I don't feel too good. And he's like, well, what can I do? And she like grabs him and takes a picture and she's like, now I've got a picture of the two of us in bed. So you'll give me this money or I'm going to send it to Gretchen. He's like, please. She'd laugh her ass off if you did that. But he knows that Gretchen has all that debt. So he tries to avoid telling her about it.
Oh yeah.
And then when she finally comes around, he's like, she's like, dude, I don't care about that kind of stuff. I care about things, not money. So she's the one who doesn't care. Deadly Class?
Nope, I haven't watched a single episode.
Three episodes in, it's fucking phenomenal, dude.
I do want to watch it though.
Henry Rollins is the poison teacher.
I was backlogged on a lot of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
And wait, I watched a few movies.
Oh, Jesus. But Wu from Doctor Strange. Wow.
I watched six movies.
I watched zero.
I watched three last night. Shit, I watched four last night.
So yeah, Wu from Doctor Strange is the headmaster, and Henry Rollins is the poison teacher. And it's just really good. They have like this whole dynamic of classes in there. Not classes as in like classes that you go to,
right,
but like castes. And the main character is a rat. That's what they call them because they're the bottom feeders. They're not legacies. They got into the school. They're the first generation. And so they're like, you're the bottom of the food chain. You're a fucking rat. And like one of the asshole bullies actually gets them to eat rat. Like he has them he has the cafeteria staff, I guess, cook it up and put it in their food. And, like, everybody in the cafeteria is watching them. And they're all just sitting there eating. They're like, what?
Sylvester Stallone ate rat on Demolition Man.
Yeah.
At a rat burger. He thought it was fun.
It's the other white meat. But, yeah, I do recommend the show. It's good. It is an hour long.
Well, it's...
I watched 7.5 episodes of the 8 episodes of Russian Doll.
Okay, I saw that pop up on Netflix. Why only 7.5?
I ran out of time tonight. I got home from work and I was trying to catch up with it. No, but yes. So the first 3 episodes are terrible. Like, I wanted to stop watching. And then something happened at the end of the 3rd episode and I went, And then the 4th episode changes everything and I went, oh.
Are they half hour or hour?
Half hour. That's like 24 minutes.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So at the end of the 3rd episode, something happened, and I went, what? And then I watched the 4th one, and I went, okay, now this got interesting.
So what's the premise of the show? Because I don't even know what it's about. I just saw it pop up on
Netflix. Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah.
I'm only going to tell you the beginning part,
that's
because
fine.
After episode 3, it gets weird. But it's essentially like a Groundhog Day kind of thing. It's her birthday. The show opens with her in a bathroom. She goes out on the out into the apartment. Her friend's like, oh, hey, birthday girl. And you just see most of the episode is just her interacting with these people and talking about her life and smoking a lot. Jesus Christ. Like, one of her defining character traits is that she smokes all the time. She's a game developer. We learn a little bit about her. And then at the end of the episode, she gets hit by a car and dies. And then appears in the bathroom again, where we started off the first episode.
Okay.
The thing is, it's not like normal Groundhog Day episodes where, like, at the end of the day it resets whether she dies or not.
Yeah.
She can go several days at a time, but it's when she dies, and she always dies. Sometimes it's comical because it happens, like, multiple times in a row on the stairway.
Yeah.
She tries multiple different things to get down, so now she only takes the fire escape out of the building. But she remembers everything, and she can go and interact with different people and do different things and learn more about what's going on. So at first, the first 3 episodes are just her and her self-absorbed self and her dirty, gross lifestyle. And, you know, this guy that wants to fuck her and she broke up his marriage. But then once it hits the 4th episode, it gets weird. And it's different. So I really want to finish it off. I recommend it because it's a half an hour. If these were hour-long episodes, I'd say no, stay away from it. But it's worth watching because
it's so peculiar.
And it has a lot of buzz going on right now. There's a lot of people talking about this.
Okay.
The only other one that I have is The Passage.
I did not watch The Passage, but I did watch The Orville.
Oh, yeah, I did watch The Orville. I forgot to put it down here.
Okay.
Yeah, so I will hold on to The Passage.
I am going
to
watch The Passage. That's
yeah, because you're 2 episodes behind now.
That's on
Mondays.
No, Hulu. I just have to add it to my stuff.
Yeah.
I got to remember to add it to my watch list.
You're really missing out because it's really good.
Bordis's mustache is absolutely fucking amazing.
And I love how the captain takes the helmsman aside. Yeah. He's like, you remember when we had that talk about things that you should not talk to Bordis about? He's like, yeah. Oh, is this one of those things? Yeah, this is one of those things.
The humor in the episode, in this episode, is amazing because the premise of the whole thing is the doctor, I don't have her name
Claire.
In front of me, Claire, and the robot,
Isaac.
Where Claire, like, Isaac goes to talk to her because she wants him to come see him about something she's writing. So he goes to see her. And I've noticed over these last several episodes, the relationship between the two of them seems to be growing. And that's what they want it to be. And he brings her a banana. Well, I've noticed if you haven't eaten all day, you're awful irritable. So I brought you this so that way you're more tolerable to be around. Basically, he's like, that's what he's saying to her.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, geez,
she
thanks.
Takes it as touching.
Yeah. Like, that's kind of thoughtful of you, whatever. So she wants to go on a date with him. And they go on a date. And to her, she wants to go on a date and start a relationship.
And she's open with Kelly about it.
Yes.
Like, so she actually weighs the pros and cons and talks to her, and Kelly's like, I don't think it's a good idea, but, you know, they handled it very maturely.
Yes, and where Isaac is, to him, this is an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And the experiment's over. They went on a date, and she kissed him on the cheek or whatever it was, and he put clothes on even, you know? And
yes.
I love it when he's just like there's one point in the date where she mentions something about, like, tossing the table, and he flips the table over, and she's like, that's not what I meant. No, re-energize table. Yep. And Peter's back there. But there is the episode where, well, sorry, but then later in the episode, he wants to break up with her. And so he gets advice on how to break up with her, which is like, well, I just treat a girl like crap until she breaks up with me. So that way I don't have to worry about doing it. And so she walks into the cabin and there's Isaac sitting there in like underwear and a wife beater over his robot outfit. And this line, I wrote it down. It was so amazing where he says something like, make me dinner. And she goes, what? And his response is, I am incapable of stuttering. I can only surmise that you heard me.
It's awesome. Well, don't forget, too, they went on the date, and he's like, okay, this is all over. And she wanted to take it further. So he's like, so she propositioned it to him as that. You know, you could gather more information. He's like, okay. And they end up having sex. Mm. Because
yes, he makes himself look human,
which I believe that's the voice actor who does him. Which is cool.
But he messed up, and so to make things right, he did that.
Yep, and so he looks human on the holodeck.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And they end up having sex, and she's quite impressed, and he's like, "Okay, now I've learned everything that I need.
Yeah,
I'm done."
Yeah,
and he's not mean about it, but like you said, you know, he's just like
matter of fact.
It's the experiment has come to a conclusion, and she.
Why haven't you made my dinner? You don't eat, Isaac.
Yeah, that was a good part.
Then he apologizes.
Yeah.
They did this brilliantly because he's a robot.
Yes.
And essentially what they've said is that his subroutines have gotten so used to her being around that a lot of the way he functions and learns and does things is because of her. So, and he does this whole spiel about it in all technical terms. And she goes, so what you're saying is you're better off with me than without me.
Because he makes an error in calculation. And it wasn't life-threatening. It was just a simple, you know, they were talking about the size of suns. Of a blue dwarf star and a red dwarf.
It's rotation or something like that.
He made a calculation error, and the captain's like, what do you mean? And he's like, I miscalculated. And he's like, why? Do you have something wrong with you? And he's like, I better run a self-diagnostic.
And that's what he determines.
Yep. Which is, again, cool.
Yes.
It's really cool the way that they did that.
So, but honestly, this is probably the most brilliantly written love story between a human and a robot I've ever seen.
It was handled maturely.
Yeah.
They really got to the heart of a lot of the matters.
Yes.
They were talking about modern dating and, you know, the way that we date with apps and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, because basically he Googled her.
Yeah.
Learned everything. So that way when it comes to the small talk, she didn't have to. Like, oh, I looked you up. I know everything. That's kind of what people do now.
Yeah, exactly.
They look at people's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, and they basically can figure out most anything they need.
Yep. And she told him, she's like, that's half the fun is getting to know someone.
Yeah.
So the second time.
He deleted it all.
Yeah. He's like, I deleted all the information about you from my thing. And she's like, so you don't know Maryland? He's like, no, tell me about it. And legitimately, he could do that because he's a robot.
Right.
But yeah, it was a good take on modern dating. It was, again, you know, they talk about things that are affecting these people, but you can draw your own inferences. And at the end, he professes to her by making it rain on the bridge.
Yeah.
Because she missed the rain. And he knew that that was something special to her. And everyone else, like, they're all getting soaking wet. They're kind of like looking around like, what the fuck? But none of them, none of them scream or, you know, oh, what the hell's going on? Because they were being cool with it.
Yeah. It's just, again, brilliantly written. And the show is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the understory of Bordas with his mustache.
Oh, my God.
That thing looked amazing.
It did.
Like, that mustache was the most perfect mustache ever. It really was. I mean, it really looked good on him.
Because basically the helmsman told him, you know, oh, it would look bitchin'.
Yeah. So he tried it out.
Yep. The doctor ran a follicle stimulator over his upper lip.
So his, like, husband or whatever doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Feels weird when we kiss. But his son's like, I think it looks great on you, father. See, he thinks it looks good. Like, I don't know.
Thank you, Topa.
Yeah, thank you. It was just brilliantly written.
Yeah. Good stuff. I do hope, though, that I know you've got a lot on your plate. But I'm most looking forward to you finishing You so that we can really dig into that. And Deadly Class is very good. You will enjoy that. And The Passage dude. I know you like it. I know you've seen episodes, so.
Yes, I will be watching The Passage. I do enjoy the show. So,
movies.
I watched a bunch of movies. Did you watch any movies?
I did not.
Okay, so I'll talk about my movies.
Go for it.
The wife and I, we watched First Man together.
Oh, yeah.
It's one with Ryan Gosling, and he's Neil Armstrong.
Yep.
It was a good flick.
Yep.
It wasn't your stereotypical... when you think about most astronaut movies, like either like older movies or whatever, except for Apollo 13, they're all like, macho, macho, man. You know what I mean? Like
Armageddon.
You get all the guys, they're all tough guys. They're all fly boys. They all love, you know what I mean? Like there's adrenaline, blah, 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 blah. This was not
big dick energy.
Right. This was more like stoicness. I mean, it talked about, you know, a lot. I mean, it talked about a lot of the space program issues, the faux pas, the Apollo 1 disaster. I mean, on and on and on, all the way up to him being. And they actually used, I don't know, I didn't look this up, but I feel like they did. When he gets on the moon the first time, with one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, and all that stuff, I believe they used the actual footage from the moon landing, the actual like voice track for that. They didn't have Ryan Gosling say it. Yeah.
That's cool.
Because, like, I was like, was that? She's like, yeah, I think it was. Like, we both agree. I didn't look it up to see if they did, but we both agreed it seemed like it.
No, that's cool.
But it was a good flick. It was a good flick. I enjoyed
good.
It.
Good. I'm glad you liked it.
I watched Hellfest, the one about the traveling.
Yes.
Where people actually get killed there.
Yep.
It's a lot different than I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was going to be garbage.
Well, I mean...
No, that's just based on the commercials I saw. I was like, nah, I don't.
Basically, like, all right, so
I remember you mentioned us going to the movies at one point for that, and I was like, nah, I don't really want to go see it.
Basically, like, I thought it was going to be guy goes around to all these different horror-themed houses or whatever and kills people. And, but it's basically it happened last year. Now, this year, it's happening again
Type
of thing. And it's basically this one night with these kids that get involved in this. And it was, I don't care about ever watching it again.
Okay. So was it bad or was it just?
It wasn't bad per se. I just, okay.
Okay.
I don't care if I ever watch this again.
Well, that's good.
I watched the Into the Dark, the Hulu movie series.
Oh, which one?
I watched two of them.
Okay.
I watched New Year, New You.
Yep.
The one with, I know she's in Mr. Robot, but I can think of her from Suburgatory.
Dahlia
from Suburgatory, yep. Yeah. But anyways, I watched
Harley that. Chaykin.
Yeah, that was okay.
I liked it the best out of all the ones that I've seen so far.
Yeah, that
just
one
just because it was so dark and twisted and like...
Yeah, she's definitely a sociopath or whatever.
Yeah, but in the end,
of it,
I was
friend
so...
At the end? Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know what? And let me just get on a soapbox here for a minute. Those fucking people exist.
Yes.
There's a documentary on Netflix. Maybe this is part of your movie list, but it's about the Fyre Festival.
I have it on my list, but I haven't watched it yet.
Same here. And by the way,
a lot of people have watched
it. There's one on Netflix. There's one on Hulu. Unanimously, they say the one on Netflix is way better.
Yeah.
I want to watch it. But that's the thing is those people, influencers.
Yes.
You know, YouTube's personalities.
Hey. Hi, guys. Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hey, it's Danielle here with my besties. Like, I can't.
I want to throw punch them all.
I can't stand any of that
shit. The fact that these people make millions of dollars doing this.
Yeah, content creators is what it is.
Yeah.
My daughter, she's 9.
Yeah.
She makes her own little show, and that's, hey, guys. I'm just, you know, like, she actually does that.
Oh,
she does the voice, like, everything. Like, she's mimicking what she's seeing.
Right.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
Both of my children,
in the minority, I know.
Both of my children own sweatshirts that their mother bought them, not me. Their mother bought them from YouTube personalities.
I can't do it.
Well, I had the same reaction when I watched the one about the web girls. You know what I mean? I watched that. I told you about that movie. I can't think of what it's called now, but it was about the web girls who go on there. It's like, oh, hey. You're like, give me some more tips and we'll have a show.
Cam.
And like, Cam. Yeah, that movie, Cam. Like, it was the same thing. Like, that's real. That exists.
Did
Why,
you know?
How does that fuck people? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you know, by the way, that the woman who wrote Cam was actually a former Cam girl, and that's why it was so accurate and had so much.
Nope, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yep. So she was basically writing it about her life, except for, you know, the whole doppelganger thing.
I also watched the February one. I watched Down, which is the Valentine's one.
I haven't watched that one yet.
Takes place in an elevator.
Yep.
It's
Love in an elevator?
Yep, there is. it's not like Devil, which was another elevator flick that I actually enjoyed Devil. I know you didn't, but I liked it.
Okay.
But anyways, the girl in it is the girl from APB.
The main girl there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Latina girl, yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, never mind, it's Hulu, so.
Well, they have nudity on Hulu.
Do they?
Yeah, what's that one? The one with, well, Eliza Coop was in it. She was buck naked. She was.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I can't think of that one.
Oh, yeah, Casual.
Casual, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of sex and casual nudity in that
show. That's
true. But anyways, no, she gets naked, but you don't see anything.
Okay.
It's decent.
Is it?
Yeah, I watched that, and then I ended up watching New Year, New You because it started right after that.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's decent.
Don't watch Puka. I think I've mentioned
that. I'm not going to, and what was the other one? The one, the Flesh and Blood one, the thing?
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch that one either. But anyways, Down was pretty good. It was good.
Good. I do want to check that one out, but.
Yeah, it was good. The one thing I liked about New Year, New You when it started was, and this is going to sound stupid, but whatever, the opening credits, they had it like that, oh, it's a movie of the week. Like the way they did great. The style, the opening credits,
yeah.
And like the title card with the, you know, the copyright, and then just, I don't know, the way they did the credits, it just looked like, oh, hey.
Yep.
I watched this movie on Netflix called Revenger. It's
that sounds like a shiny box movie.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I think it's a Korean flick. There's a lot of English spoken in it, but Korean is the primary language. Basically, it's this island where these 12 Asian countries all use this island to cast off their most violent criminals. Yeah. And they get basically sent to this deserted island where this is your prison. And so the story is a revenge story, obviously.
Yep.
And the dialogue is terrible. And it's got your stereotypical cheesy Asian, like, I know it's going to sound weird, but their style of comedy of, like, being over-exaggerated with sometimes stupidity and body movements. And, like, they're looking for this little girl who got lost when she's, like, 12 or 13 or whatever. But there's, like, a group of four of them. They're walking through the woods going, like, Jin, Jin. Gin, like in unison, like that wouldn't happen that way, but it's supposed to be, it's like their version of slapstick, I guess, maybe. And they go, oh, where's Mala? Mala! 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 Like, it's just, anyways, I know that doesn't describe it well, maybe, but so it's got that kind of ridiculous comedy.
Okay.
So don't watch this movie for the dialogue and the story, but the fight scenes are fucking awesome.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's what kind of kept me into it, was the fight scenes. There's some great fight scenes in the flick.
So, are we talking, like, hand-to-hand fight scenes?
Yes.
Knife fight scenes?
No, hand-to-hand fight scenes, okay. And then there's a lot of bow and arrow action going on. But yeah, I can't give the movie a hard sell, but the fight scenes are good. I watched Close, which is the one with the girl in the spider, this girl with the dragon tattoo, what's her name?
Noomi Rapace.
Noomi Rapace. Apparently, she must have some sort of deal with Netflix. Like, people had deals with Universal and Fox back in the 20s and 30s, because she's been in a ton of Netflix movies lately. Or Kurt Russell and Disney. Anyways, this is a good flick. And once again, it's an hour and a half, and that's all these movies. None of these movies are very long, 84 minutes, 85 minutes, something like that. That's why I kept watching them. Anyways, this is a good flick, though. It's worth checking out,
What's it about?
She is she's a bodyguard.
Oh, so she stays close to.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So she's a bodyguard and she takes a job for 1 week to get this girl from point A to B. And she's a spoiled rich kid that you want to punch in the face. And things go awry. Now she has to bodyguard her.
Do they have that song from The Bodyguard?
No. But there's some action and there's some killing. There's some thriller, psychological, like, ooh.
Because this is Thriller.
Yeah, and they have to try and find her. It was a good flick.
Cool.
I mean, it's worth the 85 minutes or whatever it is to watch. You know? And then finally, I went to the Redbox today to rent myself a movie, and my daughter was with me. I wanted to get The Sisters Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
So I got that to watch after you leave.
Nice.
Because I don't work tonight, so I got to stay up late. But she wanted me to rent The Grinch because I was at Redbox. So I did.
That's the newest
animated one with Benedict Cumberbatch, yes. And I sat down and watched it with the kids tonight, and it's really good.
Is it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like,
it's still the same basic story, I assume.
Expanded, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a good flick.
Nice.
Yeah, when it first came on, Wesley thought it was going to be Minions because they had the elimination thing up and one of the Minions was there. And then when the movie starts, he's watching and he's waiting, about 5 minutes, and he's like, "Where are the Minions?" I'm like, "This isn't a Minions movie, it's the Grinch." So he sat, but he loved it. He sat and watched. I let the kids eat dinner in the living room tonight so we could watch the movie. But yeah, it was a good flick.
Nice.
I feel like we're going to end up owning that because he's going to want to watch it more and more.
And the Grinch is always a good Christmas movie.
It is definitely a Christmas movie by the end, yes. It's not called How the Grinch Stole Christmas, but this is How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Thanks.
But it's weird. In other, like in the Jim Carrey version, everyone in town knew who the Grinch was and was afraid of him.
Right.
Yep. And I'm trying to remember, like, in the original How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Yep.
I almost said saved. Anyways. They seem to know who he is as well.
Yes, but he's not part of their community. He lives up on the roof on the mountain top.
In this one, he goes in town to buy some groceries at one point, and no one really knows who he is. They're not afraid of him. He just doesn't like. And they give a reason why he hates Christmas.
Oh,
explain it. Yeah, so I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
You have to watch it.
Okay, gotcha.
It's good.
Good.
Yeah. Shit ton of trailers to talk about.
Yep. I did want to say I didn't watch any movies, but I wanted to let you know and let the listeners know that, you know, I usually do the what's coming up on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
So this coming Saturday on HBO at 8 p.m. will be Won't You Be My Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers one.
Nice.
And then the following Saturday
will
be Deadpool 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, number of trailers. I have a lot of news items.
Well, the Super Bowl was last weekend.
Yes.
Patriots won.
And I heard it was a real snooze fest.
Okay, here's the thing. It's debatable. All right? If you want a game that's thrilling with nonstop action and big passes and
which
big
most
plays,
people do.
Right, then yeah, okay, it's a snooze fest. However, I thought the game itself was a good game. It was a very highly contended defensive game, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, like, guys were trying. Defense was playing awesome. So, I don't know. I enjoyed the game.
Okay.
I thought it was a good game other than the fact that, like, again, most people didn't like it because it wasn't. If you look at it this way, the Patriots won by 10 points. Okay? 13-3.
Yep.
Wasn't that exciting in that, if you look at it that way. However, every Super Bowl that they've won or lost has been decided by 8 or less points.
Mm-hmm.
So rather the score,
their biggest win, air quotes.
So rather the score is 13-3, or 33-20, you know, or 33-23, and whatever it is, doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, like they still barely won. They still won by a low margin, like they always do.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very defensively well played defensive game, and there was a lot of great plays, and there's a lot of like great attempted plays, and it made the big plays that were big stand out more because they were so far and few between. But I don't know, and I'm not saying this as a Patriots fan, but as a football fan, I enjoyed the game.
Mm-hmm. Good.
But what I love the fact is right before kickoff, we got that Avengers teaser.
Yep.
See, I like this trailer better than the first one they showed us.
Yes.
Because to me, this is the only one we needed to see.
And I really like the fact that they're sticking to their guns about how they're only going to show footage from like the first 10 to 15 minutes of movie. So yeah. I don't feel nervous watching trailers.
Yep. Unlike the Pet Sematary 2 or Pet Sematary trailer that got released too, but I'm not watching either because a couple people I've read on like Twitter or whatever were like, "Hey, there's a huge plot twist that they show in the trailer. So if you want to be," he goes, "which would have been really nice to be surprised about."
Right.
So I'm glad I'm avoiding that one. So avoid the new Pet Sematary trailer if you haven't watched it yet.
A lot of people are speculating, if you look at the Avengers teaser that we got, there's two scenes in particular.
Yeah.
One, where they're all kind of like marching silhouettes in front of a thing.
Yeah.
And there's a big gap about one person wide in between two of them.
Yeah.
And they're like, was somebody digitally edited out? And then there's one scene where there's like five of them and they're all kind of like looking up at the sky. But the way that they're staggered, it again looks like there should be another person standing right there. So they're saying that somebody might have been digitally edited out. Could be like Captain Marvel. Could be Iron Man, because, you know, last time we knew he was still lost
up
there.
Could be Wolverine.
No, it's not Wolverine.
How do you know it's not Wolverine?
Well, they did announce, speaking of this kind of stuff, Disney is looking for a new Wolverine. They don't want Hugh Jackman to go forward anymore. But they started talking about some of the properties that they have that they're acquiring from Fox. And that was one of the things they said, is that they're looking for a new Wolverine.
Fuck them.
They're looking for a younger...
Hugh Jackman wants to play Wolverine. He should continue to play Wolverine.
Well, one of the things that they said was that in order to be that jacked for Wolverine, like, he would get up at 4 a.m, he would do nothing but workouts and high protein stuff, blah, blah, blah. And he got to be in amazing shape. He's an older guy now. Like, it's not...
So have him wear a shirt.
It's true. Wolverine didn't go around shirtless an awful lot.
Guess what? CGI in the movie that's big and muscular and we still don't care.
That's true.
The Hulk.
Oh, I loved Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I would love to see him. But they want to go with somebody new, probably somebody younger. I hope that they go back to the comic type and make him short. Because Wolverine was always short in the comics.
He was, yeah.
He wasn't as tall as everybody else. And that was one of his things, was he was short and scrappy.
Right.
You know, I would love to
I'm so used to Jackman's Wolverine, I'd forgotten about that.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, because that was one of the first complaints when people heard that Hugh Jackman was going to be Wolverine in the first X-Men movie. They're like, guy's like almost 6 feet tall. The fuck? Yeah. Wolverine's like 5'5 or something. So, yeah. So, yeah.
So we got an Avengers teaser.
Yes,
I wrote about that. We got a Handmaid's
Handmaid's Tale
Season 3 trailer.
Yeah.
Which, when that came on, they tried to make it look like it was something else. But when it has TVMA and very faintly on the screen, because they don't really want you to see it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a trailer for something.
Yep.
We got a Captain Marvel trailer.
Yes.
A new
which
one.
Which I didn't watch.
I did.
Because I've already seen 2 trailers for this.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty sure that I've seen all I want to see for this movie.
Yeah. I watched it because I was watching the TV, but I'm going to go watch the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
We got a Hobbs and Shaw trailer.
I keep hearing about this. I haven't watched it yet, but I keep hearing how good it looks. Did they use the song "Why Can't We Be Friends"?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, does look good.
Yeah, I like both the actors a lot.
Yeah, I like Jason Statham and I like The Rock, obviously. You know, Iris Elba's in it.
Idris.
Huh? Idris, whatever. He's playing like some fucking cyborg guy.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, they made reference to being, mechanical somehow. Oh, God, there's a great scene where The Rock, like, for whatever reason, like, some guy was rappelling off a roof, and The Rock jumped off after him and catches up to him and lands on him, and he's battling with this guy, and then you see Jason Statham going down in a glass outdoor elevator, like, going, just take the elevator.
Nice. Yeah.
But that was good. There was a really cool, like, Bud Light commercial.
Yeah.
Where the Bud Light Knight showed up and they're going, dilly dilly, and it's the Bud Light King from the most recent commercials, and he's gonna joust with somebody. And so he does, and they joust, and he gets knocked off his horse. And it's like, huh? And then they show a guy walking over, and I'm like, that looks like the Mountain from Game of Thrones. And then he, like, I don't know, rips the Bud Light Knight's head off. You don't see that, but you hear it. And then a dragon pops up. And then, dun, 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 dun. It was a fucking Game of Thrones commercial.
For HBO. Light?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No. It was a Game of Thrones commercial from HBO. But they tied it into, like, a Bud Light commercial to make it look like something else. It wasn't to catch you off guard. It was kind of neat.
Huh.
And I've seen them do that again. I've seen them do that with something else, too, that wasn't. Was it Bud Light involved? I can't recall, but I've seen him do it with another one, too, that wasn't this one. But it was kind of neat the way they did it. They show you nothing about the show. You just see a dragon, you see the mountain, they play the music, and then it says Game of Thrones, the final season, HBO, April.
Nice. So, stuck it in there.
Yeah. And then we got the Twilight Zone commercial.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That was so good.
I cannot wait.
April 1st. I don't know if they do weekly or drop them all at once.
If they do weekly, I'm going to hold off.
If they do weekly, I'm holding off. If they drop them all at once, then after I get back from New York, my WrestleMania trip, I'm going to... Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this looks good.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. But it was brilliantly done.
Yep.
Like, brilliantly
done. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because, honestly, his stuff is brilliant.
Yeah, it really is. And like, I know a lot of people, like, I didn't hear much. I haven't read much or heard much, like, kind of fallback from Forrest Whitaker, you know, being the host when they did the revived it last time. But other than he's no Rod Serling, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But they didn't try to make Forrest Whitaker kind of act like Rod Serling.
Right.
It was a different type of host, whereas Jordan Peele appears to be doing Rod Serling.
Rod Serling, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm okay with this.
Oh, I'm fucking okay with it.
That was awesome. The way, we're back, Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, and then his voiceovers are amazing. And then, you know, the music, and then the door appears on the field, and he walks through the door, and I'm watching with Wesley, and he goes, hey, where'd he go? Because he opens the door and walks in, but he doesn't come out the other side. I was like, hey, where'd he go? Why did he come out the other side, basically? And I was like, it's a commercial, Wesley.
He went into the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
Saw a trailer for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. It was a quick teaser.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of them. Did you ever read those?
Nope.
I read all of those books when I was a kid, so I'm actually kind of interested to see how this goes. Because if I remember correctly, they're not like...
They're not Goosebumps.
They weren't age-appropriate, really. Like, as far as Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, yes, they were quote-unquote kids' book, but they were pretty demented.
See, I think that's why I didn't read them, because at that time I had aged out.
Yeah.
You know, from kids' books. And they were marketed as kids' books.
Yes.
You know, they had that weird clown kind of face on the front, and...
I don't remember that. Mm. I'm
looking up.
Yeah, that's fine. But so that looks decent. We got the Toy Story 4 trailer.
That was great.
Yeah.
Especially because we got Ducky and Bunny back.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And I watched a trailer for something. I think it's going to be on Netflix called The Breaker Uppers. And it's basically, it's a British TV show, comedy or movie or whatever. Oh, I guess that is a clown. See, I never saw that as a clown. I always saw it as an old man.
Oh. Well, with the blue and the red. And yeah.
I don't remember there being color on. I always thought of it as an old man with a pipe. Interesting how we both saw two different things. But seeing yes. Yours. But I don't know if this is a TV show or movie, but it's basically about this people who will break end your relationship for you by showing up and telling them. Like, the first one is like a singing telegram. Sheila's breaking up with you, but I can't do it the way she did it. But she's
and is this going to be on Netflix?
Song. Yeah, I think it's a Netflix one.
There was a movie a while back. I think it was called My Best Friend's Girl. They had Jason Biggs and oh my God, what's his name there? Shitty comedian Dane Cook.
Oh yeah,
and basically people would pay Dane Cook to go and be a shitty date.
Yes, I remember that.
Broke
yes.
up with them
yes.
to prove that oh. There's terrible guys out there and make them run back to them.
Yeah.
That's what it made me think of when you said that.
All right, so this is a movie.
Aww.
It's a New Zealand romantic
Ooh,
comedy.
New Zealand.
Yep.
Nice.
And it's February 15th, day after the Valentine's Day. It's going to be on Netflix.
Cool.
It came out in New Zealand back in May, apparently.
Oh, wow.
So it's hitting Netflix on February 15th. So. But yeah, they run an agency. In Auckland, New Zealand, where they bring helping people break up with their significant others. These unorthodox means to help their clients, such as impersonating police officers, to inform a woman that her husband has died and his body's gone missing.
Nice. That's awesome.
So it looks pretty good. Oh, that's funny. During their 20s, the two women befriend each other after discovering that their then-boyfriend Joe had been cheating on both of them with each other. So they're dating the same guy and they know it.
And they bonded over it.
Yeah. Anyhow, yeah. So I think that's all my trailers.
I don't think so.
Well, you sent me some.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's all my trailers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I sent you What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series.
Oh, my God. That looked amazing.
So before this, we got like little teaser ones.
Yeah.
But this looks like the movie, and it looks friggin' hilarious.
Makes me want to watch the movie again.
Oh, yes. Taika Waititi, who did Thor Ragnarok and is responsible for Korg the Rockman, who, you know, is going to start revolutions, and who voiced Korg the Rockman, does this mockumentary in Britain of vampires, you know, people, it's like The Office, but for vampires. So these people follow around vampires that, and talk to them about, you know, how they live their life and their roommates and stuff like that. The TV series is originally, I remember telling you that they said the TV series was mostly going to focus on the people who hunt the vampires or the police department. But I didn't see any of that in this trailer. I love the guy who's like, yeah, I'm a psychic vampire. We either bore you to tears or we enrage you.
That was awesome.
That was he works in that office. I was like, I know these people.
Yeah.
So that's coming out March 27th on FXX.
And yes, that looks great. It does make me want to go back and watch the movie now.
Yes.
Oh, the movie's fun. Which I just looked it up, and the movie only came out 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So
it seems like it's older because of the way that it was filmed.
Right.
Their mortal enemies, the werewolves, you know, who are pretty much powerless until it's the full moon. And then this morning I sent you
Shaft. Which, okay, I was caught off guard because the original Shaft was not a comedy.
No.
It was very serious. It came out in 2000. Still Samuel L. Jackson in both, but it was...
Okay, hold on. You're saying the original Shaft like that is the original?
No, Sam Jackson. I meant the original. The sequel, the original to this sequel.
Because there's a bunch of people out there right now who are shaking their fists.
No. I know Richard Roundtree's Shaft.
Yeah.
But the original to this sequel came out in 2000.
Yes. And it was meant to be a serious movie with Sam Jackson reprising the role of Shaft.
Very serious.
John Shaft.
Yes. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth. But then this one seems like a comedy, like a straight up comedy.
This has got like, it's him and his son, Shaft the Third.
He must not have known about him.
He did. Because later on the trailer, he's like, yes, Junior, that's his mother.
Oh, yeah.
She still doesn't like me.
But it was.
It seems more like a buddy movie.
Yeah.
You know, like a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, because he brings his son along to crime scenes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was like, okay, I'll check this out on video. It seems kind of funny until...
Okay, so you had the same reaction I did.
The exact same
I'm watching,
reaction.
I'm like, okay. And then they start going like, you know, Samuel L. Jackson. They start saying he was in it. And then they go, Richard Roundtree. And I went, all right. And then they cut the footage with him. And I'm like, I'm sold.
He plays Shaft Senior.
Like the
grandfather. And it's a full generational thing.
Because in the 2000 Shaft with Samuel L. Jackson, Richard Roundtree's in that as Shaft. Like they've already established that this is his son or whatever, you know. But he doesn't have much of a role in it. Whereas in this one, it looks like he has a bigger role.
Yeah.
And now I'm like,
back in my days, all we needed was fists.
Yeah.
The guy comes out with a knife and he's like, all right, I'll show you mine. Just pulls his gun. Shoots him like five times right out a window. And he's like, did you get in a knife fight again? No, I shot him.
Yeah. Like,
so then it's like I turned a corner and I'm like, all right, this looks great.
That's exactly what happened to me because I even texted you, like, I started liking him once Richard Roundtree was introduced. I like that he wasn't in the first half of the trailer.
Yes.
I like that you didn't see him until they had his name. I don't know why, but I did. I was like, because who's Richard Roundtree? I went, oh. And then when they cut to all the footage with him, I was like, I want to watch this now. Like,
absolutely.
Way more than I did a few seconds ago.
Yep.
Did you say you had a bunch of news? Do you have more trailers?
I have no more trailers.
All bunch of news? News.
Yep.
All right, what you got?
Big Bang Theory is going to be doing a special Dungeons & Dragons-themed episode coming up here. It's going to have William Shatner, Kevin Smith, Will Wheaton, Joe Manganiello.
That's a Dungeons & Dragons episode. Okay, because I saw someone posted, I think it was Will Wheaton might have posted a photo on his Instagram or Twitter or whatever it was, and he was just like, yep, this actually is happening. And it's just a photo of all of them, and I was like, well, that's cool.
So, Robert Kirkman. Walking Dead. He did another graphic novel. He's probably done a few of them. That is called Invincible. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
They're making it into an animated series on Amazon. It's going to be an adult-themed animated series.
Okay.
Mark is a teenager. Mark Grayson, a seemingly normal teenager whose father, Omni-Man, is the world's most powerful superhero. Mike doesn't think that he has powers until his 17th birthday, at which point he begins to learn the family trade with shocking results.
Okay.
That's the only synopsis they get. But here's the reason that it's newsworthy. This is the voice cast that they have for this animated show so far on Amazon. Stephen Young, Glenn from The Walking Dead.
Yep.
J.K. Simmons, he'll be playing Omni-Man. Sandra Oh, Seth Rogen, Gillian Jacobs, Zazie Beetz, Mark Hamill, Walton Goggins, Jason Mantzoukas, Mae Whitman, and Chris Diamantopoulos. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's just the ones that they've named so far. So it's an animated show. It's going to have some killer voice actors. I'm kind of excited about it. And that'll be on Amazon. February 8th, which is tomorrow, Netflix is going to air a special Valentine's-themed episode of Big Mouth.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all about a Valentine's dance, and it's just a single one-off, which I'm perfectly fine
with. I'm cool with that, too. You were used to getting like Christmas episodes from BBC shows, so why not get a Valentine's episode from Big Mouth?
Got a bunch of renewals to talk about. Like I said, the CW renewed most of its shows. Sex Education has been renewed for season two on Netflix.
That's another one I got to finish.
Yep. Like you already talked about, You was renewed for season two. Travelers has been canceled. So the third season is its last season, unfortunately. I'm hoping they don't leave it on a cliffhanger, but it sounds like it was a surprising cancellation. So,
okay.
I know you don't watch it, but for me, one of my favorite new shows this season, and I don't really talk about it because I don't, but God Friended Me was renewed for season two.
Okay.
I love the show. I honestly do. It's got some great messages. It's got some great acting. I really, really like this show, and I'm super glad that they got picked up for a second season, which is weird because it's so spiritual that I thought it wouldn't last at all, but
yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Are you surprised that you enjoy it as much as you do, considering how spiritual it is?
No. I consider myself a fairly spiritual person, not a religious person, but a spiritual person.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Legion on FX is only going to get one more season, but...
It was canceled.
It's not canceled. They said you're only going to get one more season. And so the showrunner said that's great because that's exactly how I wanted to have it run. Okay. So he's already got it planned out, and this third season will finally introduce Xavier. And it's going to be the actor from Game of Thrones, I believe, who played one of the Targaryens.
Okay. Probably the old man father, maybe?
Either the old... Yeah, that's probably it. Cloak and Dagger is coming back April 4th.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the 10th season of Archer is coming back sometime in April.
Okay.
But I'm super excited about... They tweeted out a picture, you know, of Cloak and Dagger, and they said, Mayhem is coming, April 4th.
Nice.
Yeah, Mayhem's coming. You remember how we talked about that trailer for S.H.I.E.L.D. last week?
Yes.
Clark Gregg has gone on the record, he did an interview, and he talked about it, and he said, that is not Phil Coulson. He said, Phil Coulson is dead. He said that he's very interested and intrigued by the role that they have him playing now. He says, but it is not Phil Coulson. So I'm interested to see what's up with that.
Yeah, me too.
ABC wants to reboot Lost.
What?
They've not started working on it yet, but they've openly said that they want to. Yeah, they'd have to really do something right, which I don't think they could.
I'm not saying Lost was perfect, but it was so unique and original.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that's something they need to redo.
Bob Iger, president of Disney, CEO, whatever. Sure. He was on an earnings report recently, and he said something that nobody ever expected him to say.
Yeah.
He said, we here at Disney recognize the value in the R-rated Deadpool movie and what it has brought to the franchise, and that people honestly want to go see this. Yep. So Disney will continue that trend.
Nice.
I think that,
that's genius.
That Once Upon a Deadpool was a test.
Yeah.
I think it was a test to see if a PG-13 Deadpool would work, and it did not.
No.
And so he said, we're going to continue to make R-rated Deadpool. And probably things like Logan and...
But Deadpool has to be R-rated.
It does.
It really does.
Woohoo! That's a big win.
Yeah, that is.
And then two last things.
How about telling us when Disney Plus is going to launch and how much it's going to be?
They're still rolling out stuff about that. They said that they're not going to have just Disney stuff on there. They want it to be a true Netflix competitor.
Yes.
Which is also interesting because with this buyout, they'll own 60% of Hulu. So I don't know what they're going to do with that. Which is also interesting because think about how Hulu Plus with no commercials, the only ones that aren't affected by that are ABC shows, which is Disney. Anytime you watch an ABC show, it always says, due to streaming rights.
Yes, but you only get the one commercial at the beginning and the one commercial at the end. They don't have them throughout the episode, so it's not really a hindrance at all.
Nope. In the Who the Fuck Cares news category,
okay,
Fox is actually trying to keep Lethal Weapon going. Remember how Damon Wayans had that whole thing where he was like, I'm out of here, yeah. My health, blah, blah, blah. They recently announced that they've worked with him. They've gotten him on a better schedule, and his health is improving, and they convinced him to do two more episodes, and they think they're going to be able to keep him around for a third season.
Who cares?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Poor Sean William Scott. Like, let him have his own fucking show with a new guy. So that really kind of upset me. And unfortunately, I have to end this on some sad news.
What's that?
This is the headline. Get involved, Internet. Help Scrubs' Sam Lloyd fight cancer.
Oh, no.
Ted has cancer. This is reported by TV Guide. Actor and musician Sam Lloyd, best known for playing sad, sweat-soaked lawyer Ted Buckland on Scrubs, has been diagnosed with cancer. A GoFundMe page set up by the Scrubs producer Tim Hobart and his wife Jill Tracy says that Lloyd began to suffer from prolonged headaches at the beginning of this year, which he initially attributed to exhaustion from caring for both his newborn son and his elderly mother.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude.
Newborn son.
As his headaches got worse, he went to a doctor and got a CT scan that revealed a mass in his brain. An attempt to remove the tumor then revealed that the cancer had come from his lungs and spread to his liver, spine, and jaw as well. The campaign is looking to raise $100,000, and as of this writing, has raised just under half of that. Scrubs creator Bill Lawrence and star Zach Braff have shared links to the campaign, pledging their support and offering hopes for Lloyd's recovery.
Damn, that's too bad.
Isn't that awful?
Like, it is.
He's a good person. Good people shouldn't get shit like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is kind of sad.
It is. Like, if it was Zach Braff, I'd be like, oh, that sucks, man. But, you know, you've got all that money. Well, that's the thing. You know, he's right. Got all that money. And Zach's done some questionable stuff. But, you know, it's Sam, you know? Yeah. It's Ted.
It's Ted. Yeah, that's too bad.
It almost feels karmic. Like, you know, he played... Like, this would have happened to
Ted. This would have happened to Ted on the show, yes. Yeah.
And, yeah. Let it happen to Ted, but not Sam. I don't know. And don't get me wrong. I would never wish cancer.
No, I know.
Zach.
I know you weren't.
But, so, yeah.
Well,
that's all I got this week.
Yeah. That's a good week, then, I guess. Us. Yeah. Unless you're Sam, yeah. But, cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll chat again next week. I'm on Twitter, Superstar Mal.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's the show.